absolutely made sure that I had my cell phone off. If you have such a thing, would you please? I'm sorry, John, I can't resist. If you have any device which may interrupt us, please make sure that it is turned off. We will start with 3 minutes and start with Ms. Sharon Gioso and follow that with Dawn Gallagher. Ms. Gioso? Giosi? Grassi, okay. It for the, all the world looks. I'm very very sorry. It looks like Giossi. Good afternoon.
Hello. Is this on?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Sharon Grassi. I live at 6300 Petaluma Hill Road in Santa Rosa, and I am coming before you today. I am alarmed in the fact that my well, the casing, has cracked on the well. And it's just about the same time that the Roanoke Park Green Music Center has turned on their dewatering pumps. And I am wondering if there's a correlation between the two. My well is 10 years old. It's been in good repair. I raise organic vegetables, so it's an agriculture pump that I have serviced regularly. It's well maintained, and they cannot come up with any reason that's viable for why this has happened. I'm concerned in the fact that we have a lot of water where we were, and it just seems to me like it's a little bit too coincidental that this happens the same time or within 24 hours of when they claim they have turned on their dewatering pumps. We pull from supposedly the same Roanoke Park aquifer, and I'm just concerned. Now, apparently you have mandated that they turn off their pumps. My water is okay now. So I was asked to come today to bring that to your attention. And so that is exactly what I am doing. Now, I've been told that when I say the casing has cracked, therefore the sand has caved in, and I'm probably going to be forced to drill a new well. What I'm worried about is the fact that if I drill a new well, I want to make sure that the same thing does not happen again, because I cannot afford to drill a new well at $40,000 because my well is 500 feet deep. However, I was not pulling water from that depth. I was pulling water from 200 feet. We've had to pull up my pump to 150 feet, and now it's working fine that those sump pumps or the pumps that the Roanoke Park Green Music Center has turned off. Now my water has been restored and is working okay. So that's all I have to say today, and I would hope that you would look into this extremely thoroughly, because I think we could have a very serious problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Before you go.
Mr. Grassi, is that a cement casing is what's cracked in your well? Right, it's not metal. It's cement.
No, it's not cement. It's
plastic,
pipe.
Plastic.
It's a pipe.
Plastic pipe. At what? Yeah. 6 inches in diameter.
No, it's 8 inch.
8 inch in diameter.
It's an agriculture casing, and it's been
working for
10 years. Nothing
has changed. Excuse me. Could I ask you to speak into the microphone because they record
nothing,
this?
Nothing has changed over this period of 10 years. I have not increased my water consumption. I have not increased irrigation. There's been nothing changed on my part. In fact, we only have half of our crops planted. So at that point when that happened, so there wasn't even a severe strain on my well at that point in time. It was only working at half the capacity or half the need, because we're still moving along planting our crops. So there's really no reason why that should have happened, because the well is not old. It's in good repair. It was not being overused or overdrafted in any way, so there's no reasonable explanation why that should have happened. And I've been doing maximum research, calling, asking, researching, trying to figure out why this has happened, and then all of a sudden I find out that at the same time frame the Green Music Center has turned on their pumps. Oh, what a coincidence. So that is connecting the dots, because there's no reason why that should have happened.
All right, and the other issue there, you've raised your pump from 500 feet. Now it's at 150 feet. Have you been...
No. The well is at 500 feet. The pump was set at 210 feet.
And now you've raised it to 150 because of the sand or the filling in, or...
Yes.
Okay.
We don't know exactly where the crack is, that where the sand is filling in at a rapid rate.
Okay.
So we had to go above any possibility of where that crack was.
All right.
In order, because the sand, if it goes through the system, it'll destroy
everything.
It'll
ruin the pump.
Right.
Thank you.
So we're on a safety precautionary deal now, and then they've had to decrease the gallons per minute to make sure that it doesn't continue to suck up sand.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Let's see if I can do a little better with this. Dawn Gallagher. All right. Followed. Pardon?
Who needs the A? We don't need the A.
Strike two. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you. I'm Donna Gallagher, 5025 Country Club, Rohnert Park. I'm here today with many concerns. I'll try to do this in 3 minutes. I was a former city council person in the city of Rohnert Park from 92 to 96. And during that time, we changed the general plan out of great concern that the well, we had already failing wells for such a young city. Being an overdraft back then, and now today, where I'm alarmed is that this is a city that needs a higher agency to stop what it's doing. In only the past few years, they've lost two lawsuits regarding water, and they were mentioned in the grand jury investigation regarding water. The recent lawsuit that they lost 1 month ago, I last night at the city council meeting asked them, would they please report to the citizens the outcome of that lawsuit? They are even refusing to tell the citizens who spent the money for the lawsuit that they lost it and cannot build half a dozen projects that would cover the aquifer, the state recharge ground, about 12 others on the west, on the east side of Snyder to Petaluma Hill. Incidentally, across the street, the basin I'm talking about is across the street from the last speaker. They lost that and cannot build there because they are in massive overdraft. SB 610 says you have to prove. You have to have the groundwater for a project over 500 homes. They don't. They haven't since my watch. However, right now, they are creating a wetlands area specifically for that project in a mitigation process. Only a few days ago they started it, and that city council will not answer the question as to what they're planning on doing. They can't appeal this lawsuit, and they are forging ahead like they can still do it. So it's not land wars anymore. It's water wars, as you know. Somebody has to step in, because this zoning for dollars, insatiable appetite to develop that this town has, they got to be stopped. So I'm asking for your help to override on the water issue with this town. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think I can win on this one. Mr. John King. Good afternoon.
You got it right, Bill. I won't tell you you're wrong. John King, Pengrove. Yeah, Sharon Grassi's not alone. In fact, I brought forth litigation against the city of Rohnert Park in 2000. The city of Rohnert Park, in their May 2000 EIR, admitted that the basin in the last 25 years had dropped as much as 150 feet in the Sharon Grassi area and southward into Pengrove. This basin is a basin that as of today supplies water as far south as Sausalito, 7 days a week. Sonoma County Water Agency has three wells. One is right outside the city of Rohnert Park on Todd Road. They have one on Occidental Road, and they have one on Sebastopol Road. In addition to that, they have the wells that are located on the banks of the Russian River, that collectively are pumping about 92 million gallons a day. We're having issues with land subsidence. That's really what Sharon's talking about. And I can tell you, in the fall of 2004, I was a speaker at the State Groundwater Resources Convention held in Roner Park. I had a chance to speak briefly with Eric Reichardt of the USGS out of San Diego, who did acknowledge that they had some, I'll call it imagery, I won't call it photographs, done by satellite of the Santa Rosa Plain, right underneath where we're seated today, showing fluctuations in movement in the valley floor. I've got some 22,000 pages of documentation, which was used recently in the SB 610 suit against Roner Park, brought forth by the Al Foundation. It is the first 610 suit in the state of California. And what happened was the city of Roner Park, once they had admitted back in 2000 that the basin was in overdraft, they couldn't move forward with their 20-year general plan. They're 7 years into their general plan. They want to build about 5,000 homes and 5 million square feet of commercial space. They hired two consulting firms. The consulting firms did not follow the state guidelines and policies for identifying the southern region of the Santa Rosa groundwater basin. They went up onto the Sonoma Mountains east of Roner Park. They went into the Cotati Hills west of Roner Park, and they didn't make it past first base, and the judge threw it out. For your consideration, I pulled out just a handful of document excerpts. I hope you have copies, one of which is the cover page. It's from Regional Water Quality out of the Oakland office and Bill Hurley. This is January 2000, Bill Hurley telling Roner Park not to adopt their water supply assessment until it's been modified. And if you look on the next page, the bottom section there, one of the reasons stated is that it may adversely affect the quantity and quality of groundwater available from existing domestic and agricultural wells. And there are hundreds of people that have gone on record having lost their wells as the groundwater table continues to decline. If you go to the fourth page, you'll see I photocopied the cover of a county-sponsored EIR for a small subdivision known as Cannon Manor, adjacent to Sonoma State College. And interestingly enough, although it's a small project, only for 109 vacant parcels, which you'll see on the next page where I circled it, they had to do an evaluation of groundwater supplies. And their map that they used, that the County of Sonoma used, is identical in its region to what the city of Roner Park just used for the water supply assessment that was set aside by the courts. And you will see at the bottom of this page that it talks about the impacts. Their significant cumulative development within the study area may result in a use of groundwater that exceeds its rate of replenishment, resulting in another period of groundwater level declines. This is for a 109-unit project. If you go to the next page, it's Mark 2-18 at the bottom, you will see out of the same EIR that this is the first time I have seen it acknowledged that this Russian River, just to the north of us here, has subsurface flows through this entire valley floor, clear to Pengrove, below Roner Park. This is one of only two sources that recharges our groundwater basin. And every time there's another well drilled up here, whether it's a water agency, whether it's ag use, whether it's a city, it impacts the amount of water that's able to make its way south. And finally, the last document, in the interest of time and other speakers here today, this page also comes from the Cannon Manor EIR, adopted January 2005. And it says, this is the count, it says, the cumulative impact on groundwater supply of the proposed Cannon Manor West and other future projects is significant. Protection of significant recharge areas would help ensure groundwater supply for future uses. Roner Park's 20-year general plan, most of which is going to be built along the Petaluma Hill Road corridor. It's about 1,200 acres of land that fits right in the footprint of state-identified groundwater recharge areas. This is the very type of area that the county is saying in its own document should be protected and protected for area. So I'm here today to ask you to step into the picture, make sure LAFCO does not turn these county lands over to the city of Roner Park for future development. We just, those of us that are here today, we can't take the hit on our land use and water availability. We are in serious trouble. We're asking you to step into the picture on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. King. We have one more speaker card, and I'm going to, Mr. Loveless, if I could interject. Do we have or have we been involved in this issue in the Cannon, well, in the Roner Park area, and do we have someone that has been dealing with it?
I'm going to ask John or Mona to come address the issue. In terms of the dewatering that's going on at Roner Park, at the university, we do have some pretty good tools for dealing with that. The issue of groundwater overdraft is probably beyond our authority, but mm-hmm. these guys have the facts of what you know is going on from our view.
Good afternoon, Mr. Short, Ms. Doherty.
Good afternoon. I will speak to the first item that was raised by in the public forum, and that has to do with the Green Music Center and the groundwater pumping that is occurring there. Our staff was notified last Thursday that dewatering pumps were being turned on at the construction site for the Green Music Center. Apparently, they were pumping up to half a million gallons a day of groundwater, and it was being discharged into Copeland Creek, which is a nearby receiving water. Because we had concerns about pollution in the surface water, we notified Sonoma State University that they would need a permit for that sort of activity. There are cleanup issues, a potential for toxic pollutants and other pollutants to be in that water. So we told them without a permit, they would have to turn off those pumps. We did receive an application today for them to turn those pumps back on and discharge into the receiving water. We haven't had a chance to look over that those applications yet. Our role is somewhat limited to protecting the quality of the surface water that's going to be receiving this groundwater flow. We have not yet addressed groundwater depletion, the overall impacts to the aquifer. This is a big subject that we have not weighed in on other developments in the Roner Park area.
Ms. Coleman?
We will give the board an update on the Green Music Center permit probably in the next EO report. We should be down the line and probably have issued the permit by then or rather enrolled them by then. One would hope, unless they have to do some studies that are going to be harder to complete, but I'll give you an update in the next month's report. Any comments from the board, I guess, on the groundwater issue?
Mr.
Yes,
Corbett.
I just had one. We had passed out to us a letter from the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, San Francisco Bay Region, regarding city area of Roner Park and the groundwater issue. And what's the coordination there? And is there an evaluation of their claim of right to be involved?
The aquifer is shared by both regional boards. So they did comment, their staff in San Francisco, and I don't know what the basis, what studies they had to warrant their conclusions. They did not talk with us prior to drafting up that letter. So I don't know what the basis was for that.
For my edification and perhaps others, could I ask Ms. Olson to give us a quick primer? As Mr. Short says, we have not weighed in on groundwater. Surface waters, we deal with groundwater. We don't. Could you explain to us who gets which water under what circumstances? It's tall order, and by the way, you only have 3 seconds. No.
I've been giving a lot of thought recently to regional board authority over surface water supply issues. Have not given it much thought for groundwater, but we should say that groundwater is not regulated. Groundwater supply is not regulated by the State Water Board Division of Water Rights. It's generally left to local agencies to regulate that sort of thing. The Regional Water Board has broad authority to protect beneficial uses and over water quality in its region. And if you would like, I can spend some time looking into this area a little bit more, but I think that if there is a logical connection to the surface water and an impact of beneficial use, the board has authority to take an action in that area.
Perhaps you can put that together with Ms. Coleman's, if you will, report back to us on this. My understanding, and it is lay only, but my understanding is that the State Water Board deals with surface waters, and the permitting process for groundwater is normally a county function.
That's correct. We should say that the State Water Board does have authority over groundwater to the extent that overpumping is could constitute a waste and unreasonable use, and that is jurisdiction that's left to the State Water Board. As well as subterranean streams. Subterranean streams require a permit to pump from, but just percolating groundwater is subject to the California Constitution's provision against waste and unreasonable use. And so parties may have an avenue by going to the State Water Board as well to address or at least investigate that complaint.
Okay, particularly, I believe Mr. King was pointing out that there is the opinion that the Russian River, one way or another, is connected hydrologically to this. That would put the state in a position.
So we will take a look at that issue and report back to you.
Okay.
And just Corbett? A suggestion, it might be good to look at, they didn't cite any provisions, but I know the San Francisco Bay Region said, pursuant to our authority under the California Water Code. So at least find out what their, what's on their mind, what are they citing for authority, so that especially when we got two regional boards in the same aquifer groundwater area, probably ought to try every effort to get together.
Thank you. We will, as for those of you that participated in the public forum, we will have an answer back. I don't know when we will get it, but we will get it as quickly as possible. And surely, once that information is put together, I suspect that if you called Ms. Coleman, she might be able to help you. Okay, we have one more public comment card from Mr. Mark Lovelace. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and yes, you got my name correct.
That's 2 out of 5.
Mark Lovelace with the Humboldt Watershed Council, and I'd like to speak to you just briefly today on the monitoring plan that's been proposed by Pacific Lumber Company for so-called zero-sediment timber harvest plans in the Freshwater and Elk River. As you recall, in approving the WWDRs for these watersheds, this board made it quite clear that the threshold limit for sediment for timber harvest plans would be 25% above background, and that no further sediment would be allowed beyond that level. The language that was incorporated into the motion was clear and understandable in that it was stating that beyond that level, any operations would have to demonstrate that they would generate absolutely zero sediment. This effectively required that PALCO could not receive any additional permits for timber harvest plans above that level unless they generated that they would, again, generate absolutely zero sediment. What PL has put forward of what we've seen so far has been a monitoring plan for this. And a monitoring plan is something that, of course, monitors after the fact. There's nothing in this plan that's been put forward that actually prevents sediment from being generated or from being mobilized into these watercourses. Instead, this plan focuses solely on monitoring and hopefully on perhaps capturing some of that sediment before it actually is delivered to a watercourse. But by its definition, a monitoring plan simply cannot prevent the generation or the mobilizing of sediment. the record for these watersheds, and indeed for logging in general, which is quite exhaustive in these watersheds, is replete with evidence that logging per se generates sediment. And even under the best circumstances, it can be mitigated, it can be reduced, but it cannot be brought down to zero. That zero sediment logging is simply not possible with any technology that we've seen. The PL's plan ignores this basic reality and focuses solely on monitoring after the fact. It is fundamentally impossible for monitoring plan to prevent the sediment for which it is monitoring from being generated in the first place, because it cannot detect sediment until it has been generated. The zero sediment provision, again, we understand why it was put in place, but it does set up what is likely to be another frustrating and time-wasting fight that will take away the limited resources that your staff has. And as this company attempts to deny even the most basic fact of physics, that water runs downhill. So I'm here today just to point out to you that this is probably going to be before you again, is my guess, unfortunately. And I ask that you and your staff remain clear and strong that on the difference between monitoring and prevention, that they are not one and the same, and that you hold to the absolute highest standard that if PL claims that they have, in fact, zero sediment THPs, that they have a very, very high burden of proof. Thank you.
Thank you. We are, I believe, have a agenda item tomorrow, and I don't know whether the executive officer wishes to add anything with respect to this, but you are right. We said 125% and zero after that, and I believe that that is exactly what this board meant.